verse number 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead, there they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. Understand, you can write this down. He was a thief. He was a thief. He didn't care about the poor. He's the one who held on to the money. He is the one who carried around in a bag, and he took some of it when he wanted to. He was a thief. But please understand, no one knew. You think they would have known and allowed him to continue doing it? No. He was a thief. He feigned concern over how much this ointment cost, but he's thinking, well, if I sold that, I could put more money in my bag that I'm carrying around and take more money out of it. He was a thief. He was a sneak. He was a sneak. Go to Matthew chapter number 26. Matthew chapter number 26. Most of the time, these things go hand in hand. He was a thief. He was a sneak. They go hand in hand all of the time. Matthew chapter number 26, verse number 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Now understand, the previous verses are what we just read in John chapter 12. Same account. So he, in essence, walks 1.5 miles to where the chief priests are and negotiates, bargains, barters for the betrayal of Jesus Christ. 30 pieces of silver was the price that was agreed on. And then he sneaks back into the group and no one's the wiser. No one saw him sneak off. No one saw him sneak back in. He just does it. He's a thief. He's a sneak. He's a coward. He is a coward. Luke chapter number 22. Luke chapter number 22. Verse number 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover, and the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being one of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. He doesn't want to betray him out in the open. He wants to betray him how? In secret. When no one else knows, when no one else can figure out it was him who had betrayed him, he wants to do it in the absence of the multitudes, outside of the crowds, so that no one knows it. He is a coward on top of everything else. It all seems to fit together. You get the picture of this guy right here. He's a thief. He's a sneak. He's a coward. He is a hypocrite. He is a hypocrite. John chapter number 13. John chapter number 13. He is a hypocrite of the worst kind. John chapter 13, Verse number one, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. He's washing the disciples' feet, and he gets to Peter, and Peter says, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. That's not your job. That should have been the youngest or a servant's job. It's not your job. And he tells him here, I'm going to wash your feet, or you'll have no part with me. He had already told him, you won't understand this now. You will understand it later on. And he said, he that is washed, and the word there is bathed, because Peter said, don't just wash my feet, then wash all of me. The word there is not just washed, it's bathed, needeth not save to wash his feet. There are two different Greek words there. What he's explaining to Peter is, if you've been bathed completely, you only need to get your feet clean. You don't need to get bathed all over again. Now, it is a picture of our salvation. Once you are saved, you are always saved. Amen? You are saved completely. You'll never lose your salvation. God won't take it away. We talked about that this morning. But you walk through this world, and you're going to get your feet dirty. You walk through this life, and you're going to pick up some dirt. And every now and then, you will do something stupid. You will do something selfish. You will sin. And while you don't lose your salvation, you will have to go to Jesus Christ and seek forgiveness for that specific sin. Amen. That's the picture he's drawing here. But he's saying, you're all clean, but not all of you. There's one of you who's not clean. Well, we know who that was. Who was it? Judas. He knows what Christ is talking about. He's already made the deal. He's already received money. He's already going to take this thing through, and he allows Jesus Christ to wash his feet. Wow. Now, Jesus knew what he was about to do. Boy, I'm glad that he's not like us. We'd have had a real tough time doing that. Amen? Very difficult. But Judas allows this to take place so that no one else knows what is going on. No one else sees it. Go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter number 26. Hold your finger here. Matthew 26. Verse number 21, Matthew chapter 26, verse number 21. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. What a hypocrite. He knows what he's done. He knows what he's about to do. And Jesus Christ is explaining to the group, one of you will betray me. And they're all looking around at each other saying, is it me, Lord? Is it me? And Judas knows it's him, but asks the question anyway. Is it I? Is it I? Go back to John 13. John 13. Verse number 21. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now, there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. That's how John referred to himself, so he didn't have to use his own name. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it." And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, "That thou doest, do quickly." Now, no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, "Buy those things that we have need of against the feast," or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. One of you is going to betray me. "Is it I? Is it I? Is it I? Is it I?" echoes from all over the room. Judas asks himself, Lord, is it I?" He knows it's him. Jesus says, "Thou sayest." Peter leans over to John, because John's the closest one to Jesus. Peter says to John, "John, ask him, who is it? Find out who it is. John, ask him." John looks to Jesus and says, "Lord, who is it?" And he says, "The one that I give the sop to after I've dipped it in and handed it off to him." He does it, gives it to Judas, and Judas leaves. And they all miss it. That's pretty amazing. None of them say, "I knew it. I knew it was Judas. I knew it was that bum. I could tell from the beginning." No, they just think Jesus told them to go buy something that we need to finish the feast off, or give some money to the poor, or do something like that. None of them got it. Jesus point blank pointed him out, and they missed it. Why? He was a hypocrite. He was an actor's actor. He played the part of a Christian. He played the part of a disciple. He played the part of a follower of Jesus Christ, trusted by everyone so that he was the treasurer, and he betrayed Jesus Christ. He was a thief. He was a sneak. He was a coward. He was a hypocrite. His name, his game. Number three, his blame. His blame. John chapter 13, verse number 30, we read, "He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night." Immediately, he went out. Here it is. He gets the ball rolling. He starts the process right here to betray Jesus Christ. Go to John chapter number 18. John chapter number 18. The meeting. If you want to keep notes, the meeting. John chapter 18, verse number 1, "When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. For Jesus oft-times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons." This was not a moment of insanity. This was not a sudden impulse. This was a deliberately planned and premeditated betrayal that was in the heart of Judas Iscariot. It was there. He'd set it all up. He planned it. His lust was for money, and now he's getting paid to betray Jesus Christ. He's getting paid to turn him over to all of them. He leaves the upper room, and he goes directly to the chief priests, where he secures a band of soldiers, temple soldiers. Not nice guys, because the high priest was a crook. His father-in-law was a crook. And these were the bouncers of the temple to make sure that all their crooked dealings continued. and they come to arrest Jesus Christ. Lanterns, torches, weapons. When did he put up a fight before? They meet here in the Garden of Gethsemane. The greeting, verse number 4. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, or I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, Of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. Go to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Verse number 47. Again, the arrest, the meeting. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now, he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. The kiss of betrayal is forever remembered in infamy. As Judas walks up to Jesus Christ, kisses him to let them know this is the one, arrest him, like they didn't know already. What is Jesus Christ's response? What's the first word he uses there? Friend. I believe that's Peter's one last opportunity to get right. One last opportunity to repent. He doesn't take it. Friend. You see, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died for Judas' sin too. Judas could have received forgiveness. He chooses not to. Friend, what are you doing? His blame. Number 4, his shame. His shame. His sorrow. Matthew chapter 27, verse number 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, Jesus was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, It is not lawful for to put them into the treasury because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore the field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field as the Lord appointed me. The word repentance is used here, but it's not a true repentance that he has, because of what follows makes it clear. It is remorse and regret, not repentance. I said it in one of the services, I don't remember which one. There's a difference between remorse, regret, and repentance. Regret is when you know you've done wrong in your mind. It involves the mind. It's an acknowledgement of sin in the mind. I have sinned. I have done wrong. Remorse takes it one step further, but not far enough. Remorse is you know you have done wrong in your mind, and you feel it in your heart. It is a matter of the mind and the emotions, the mind and the heart. You know you've done wrong, and you feel bad about it. We've moved to remorse. Regret, just the mind. Remorse, the mind and the heart. You feel bad, but repentance involves the mind, the heart, and the will. Repentance says, I've done wrong, I feel horrible about it, and I am not going to do it again. That's repentance. And that kind of repentance moves you to Jesus Christ, who can forgive you and change you. Amen. Judas felt bad about what he did. He knew he'd done the wrong thing. That's why he runs back and throws the money down at the feet of the chief priest and says, undo it. Undo it. I've sinned against innocent blood. I can't go through with it. And their answer is, that's your problem. That's your problem. He turns around and you can see it's remorse. Not only does he know he's done wrong, he feels bad about it. But that's it. Had he acknowledged that Jesus Christ was the Savior, he could have gone back to the one who just called him friend and found forgiveness. He chose not to. Instead, he went out and committed suicide. You can write that down. Sorrow. Suicide. Suicide. He went out and hanged himself. What a sad state of affairs. Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. Verse 16. Men and brethren, the scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Akeldama, which is to say, the field of blood. We got the describing here. He went out and hung himself, and obviously he did it over some kind of a cliff. And as he hung himself, either the rope broke, the tree branch broke, and he fell and was smashed in the rocks. How sad a life of Judas Iscariot. So what lessons can we learn from this? What are some things that we can get? Well, first one, lost opportunity. Lost opportunity. Do you think Judas had the opportunity to be saved? Absolutely. Anywhere along the way, he could have trusted Christ as Savior. Luke chapter number 11, verse number 28, Jesus said, Judas was there. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. To spend 3 years with the Savior and not get saved. How sad is that? Missed opportunity. I have no doubt in my mind that there will be people who have attended the Colonial Hills Baptist Church for years who will end up in hell. Jesus Christ had 12 disciples. One of them ended up being unsaved. What are the chances of us finding that same situation? It's going to happen. What a sad place to go to hell from. The padded pew of a church. A church that preaches the gospel. A church that implores you to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. There will be people who bust hell wide open having heard the gospel message time and time again. But their lives will be marked by missed opportunity. Number two, wasted privilege. Wasted privilege. Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12, verse number 48. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Wasted privilege. Jesus Christ here says, if you've got more privilege, if you've got more opportunity to do what's right and you don't, you'll be judged more than someone else who had less. Wow. Again, 3 years with Jesus. You want to talk about a privilege? You want to talk about a place where he could have grown, a place where he could have flourished for Jesus Christ and done many wonderful things for him? He just wasted it all. He threw it all away. And much shall be required of him. Lost opportunity, wasted privilege. 1 Timothy chapter number 6, the love of money is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy chapter number 6, the love of money is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy chapter number 6, verse number 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Think about Judas when you read verse number 10. Doesn't say money's the root of all evil, because money's not. Money's just a neutral object. We make it either good or evil, depending on what's in our heart. But that love of money is root of all evil. The word will there in verse number 9, but they that will, it means a desire. Those that desire to be rich, and that's their drive, that's their ambition, that's the only thing they are going after. Those that have that only desire for money will fall in temptation and snare. Because if those riches are all you're looking for, that's obviously all that Judas was living for. He would steal from Jesus Christ and the disciples. He sold Jesus Christ. And he fell into those hurtful snares. He fell into piercing him through with many sorrows. Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. 2 Corinthians chapter number 13. 2 Corinthians chapter number 13, verse number 5. Hypocrisy. We mentioned he sat there and did everything else everyone did. He looked like a disciple. He looked like Peter and Andrew, James, John. He looked like the rest of them. No one knew. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, chapter 13, verse number 5. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except to be reprobates. He said, check your life out. Make sure that you're saved, and know that you are. It's too important. Don't play the part so long that you not only fool everybody else, you fool yourself. You fool yourself. And that's what happens. It could not be more sad. Because those people end up in hell. Because they never trusted Christ as Savior. Again, no one knew it was Judas. No one would look at him and say, I told you so. I told you so. No one knew. He played his part. He did it well. And last, the patient love of Christ. At the very end, what does Jesus Christ call him? Friend. Go to Psalm 145, the 145th Psalm. Psalm 145, verse number 9. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Amen. Please understand that right up to the end, Judas could have been saved. Right up until the end, Judas could have repented of his sin, sought forgiveness, and would have found it in Jesus Christ. Wow. Our Savior loves us. Amen. Before we get a little bit too haughty and think, I'm not too much like Jesus Christ, or excuse me, I'm not too much like Judas Iscariot, let's remember, we're sinners too. And we betray him in other ways. It may not be for silver. It may not be for gold. But yet by tens of thousands, the Prince of Life is sold. Sold for a godless friendship. Sold for a selfish aim. Sold for a fleeting trifle. Sold for an empty name. Sold in the mart of science, sold in the seat of power, sold at the shrine of fortune, sold in pleasure's hour, sold for your awful bargain, none but God's eye can see. Ponder, my soul, the question, how shall he be sold by thee? Sold, O God, what a moment, stilled his conscience voice, sold unto weeping angels, record the fatal choice. Sold, but the price is accepted. To a living coal shall turn with the pangs of late repentance, deep in a soul to burn. We betray Christ in and through little things too often. We turn our back and we know to be righteous and holy and pure and good and right. We can't kid ourselves. When we do that, we are betraying Jesus Christ. Oh, I pray that would never be the case again. But that's our choice. We must make it. Our Father, thank you for this time that we've had together to look at the life of Judas Iscariot. See how he was wrong, where he was wrong, and how through all of it, at any moment, he could have gotten it right. Lord, I pray for everyone in this auditorium. Help anyone who is not right with you to make sure they are right tonight. If they've never been saved, I pray that they would examine themselves to make sure that they are in the faith. If they are saved, but have betrayed you in some small way or in some big way, that they'd get that taken care of, confessed and forsaken tonight. Lord, work in each of our hearts and draw us to you. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, what has God spoken to your heart about? What decision does he want you to make? Oh, you may not be Judas Iscariot, and you're not. Perhaps you've not betrayed Jesus Christ in some huge, tangible way. But are there little compromises? Little steps? Little turning of the back? little cowardice when there should be boldness? Have you turned your back on Christ at some point? Get it right. Take care of it. Confess it and forsake it tonight. Maybe you've never been saved. You say, Pastor, I don't know about my soul salvation. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that? Put your hand up, put it back down. Pastor, I don't know. I'm not sure. Would you pray for me? Anyone at all? Our Father, right now as we make decisions, I pray that you would guide us into those decisions that we might do what is right before you. Lord, reveal to us where we need to get right and motivate us to do that. Lord, if there's anyone in here unsaved, convict them, show them their need for Jesus Christ, and draw them to you even tonight. Bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. The piano's going to play a hymn of invitation. If God has spoken to your heart, if there's a decision that he wants you to make, the invitation's open for you. Talk to God while the piano plays. Take care of it right now. Make that decision. If you need to speak to me, I'll be glad to talk to you about any of this. Right now, talk to God as the piano plays. Again, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for Christ. We thank you for salvation. We thank you, Lord, that you love us, that your compassion does not fail, that your tender mercies are over all. Lord, continue to draw us closer to you, and I pray that we would choose to be as close to you as we possibly can. Bless us. Guide and direct us. Give us a good week of service. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you much. You are dismissed.